की जाय, श्री श्री गौर निताय की जाय, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि बोल। All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, text number 19. Sa esha atmatmavatam adishvaras trayi mayo dharmamayas tapo, excuse me, tapo maya gata vyalikayar aja shankaradibir vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam sa esha atmatma vatam adishvaras Taryimayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha Katavyalikar adja sankradibir Vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam Sa esha atmatma vatam adishvaras Trimayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha Gatavyalikaya adja shankradibir Vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam Sa esha atmatma vatam adishvaras Tarimayo dharma mamayas tapo maya. Sorry. Gatavyalikaya adja sankradibir. Vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam. Sa esha atmat mavatam ishvaras. Trayi mayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha. Katavya lakar adja sankara divir. Vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam. Sa esha atmat mavatam arishvaras. Katavya likaya adja sankara dibir. Vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam. Sa esha atmatma vatam adishvaras. Tayi mayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha. Katavyalikaya adja sankradadibir. Vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam. sa esha atmat mavatam adishvaras tayi mayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha katavya likaya ajya sankara divir vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam Matajis. Sa esha atmat matvatam adishvaras tri mayo dharma mayas tapo mayaha gatavya likar ajya sankradibir vitarkya lingo bhagavam prasidatam saha He, Esha, it is, Atma, Supersoul, Atmatvatam, of the self-realized souls, Adishvaraha, the Supreme Lord, Trimayaha, personified Vedas, Dharmamayaha, personified religious scripture, Tapamayaha, personified austerity, Gatavyalikai, by those who are above all pretensions, Aja, Brahmaji, Shankara Adivihi, by Lord Shiva and others, Vitarkya Lingaha, one who is observed with awe and veneration. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam, be kind toward me. So translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He is the Supersoul and Supreme Lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures, and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me. Please repeat. He is the Supersoul and the Supreme Lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, although the Lord of all followers of different paths of self-realization, is knowable only by those who are above all pretensions. Everyone is searching for eternal peace or eternal life. And with an aim to this destination, everyone is either studying the Vedic scriptures or other religious scriptures or undergoing severe austerity as empiric philosophers, as mystics, yogis, or as unalloyed devotees and so forth. But the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized only by the devotees because they are above all pretensions. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally classified as karmis, jnanis, yogis, or devotees of the Lord. The karmis, who are much attracted by the fruitive activities of the Vedic rituals, are called bhukti kami, or those who desire material enjoyment. The jnanis, who try to become one with the Supreme by mental speculation, are called mukti kami, or those who desire liberation from material existence. The mystic yogis who practice different types of austerities for attainment of eight kinds of material perfection and who ultimately meet the super soul, Paramatma, in trance, are called Siddhi Kami, or those who desire the perfection of becoming finer than the finest, becoming heavier than the heaviest, getting everything desired, having control over everyone, creating everything liked, and so forth. All these are abilities of a powerful yogi, but the devotees of the Lord do not want anything like that for self-satisfaction. They want only to serve the Lord, because the Lord is great, and as living entities, they are eternally subordinate parts and parcels of the Lord. This perfect realization of the self by the devotee helps him to become desireless, to desire nothing for his personal self, and thus the devotees are called nishkami, without any desire. A living entity, by his constitutional position, cannot be void of all desires. The bhukti-kami, mukti-kami, and siddhi-kami all desire something for personal satisfaction. But the nishkami, devotees of the Lord, desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. They are completely dependent on the orders of the Lord and are always ready to discharge their duty for the satisfaction of the Lord. In the beginning, Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desired self-satisfaction, for he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without any pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight. Karishye Vachanam Tava, 1873. And thus he became desireless. The examples of Brahma and Lord Shiva are specifically cited here because Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Srimati Lakshmiji, and the four Kumaras, the Sanaka and Sanata and so forth, are leaders of the four desireless Vaishnava Sampradayas. They are all freed from all pretensions. Srila Jiva Goswami interprets the word gata vyalikai as pryojita kaitava, or those who are freed from all pretensions, the unalloyed devotees only. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Majja Lila 19.149, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. Those who are after fruitive results for their pious activities, those who desire salvation and identity with the Supreme, and those who desire material perfections of mystic power are all restless because they want something for themselves. But the devotee is completely peaceful because he has no demand for himself and is always ready to serve the desire of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Lord is for everyone because no one can achieve the result of his respective desires without his sanction. But as stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 8:9, all such results are awarded by him only, for the Lord is Adishvara, the original controller of everyone, namely the Vedantas, the great Karmakandiyas, the great religious leaders, the great performers of austerity, and all who are striving for spiritual advancement. But ultimately, he is realized by the pretensionless devotees only. Therefore, special stress is given to the devotional service of the Lord by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bol, a very powerful verse today. Very powerful. Srila Prabhupada was very explicit in his purport in terms of who is what and how they're desiring. I thought the very interesting word was pretentious. Yes, Prabhupada says, therefore special stress is given to the devotional service of the Lord by Sukadeva Goswami because It's by the great performers who are realized and pretensionless devotees. So I had to look this word up because I didn't really know the word-for-word meaning on that verse, on that word. And it says pretentious is having no factual basis or making an exaggerated outward show, an outward fake show. And for us, it could be in relationship to pretending to be a devotee. Yes, sometimes we see that. The sahajiyas, they're pretending to be the devotee of the Lord. At the same time, they're performing so many illicit, sinful activities. So I thought this was a very interesting path to take today. And seeing that it's so important for us to develop a sincere taste of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's very difficult to perform these activities. So we have to develop a taste. And there is a verse in the Bhagavatam. It's described, Tata rajastamo bhava kama loba dayascaye chita etar anavidam sitam satve prasidati. It's a very powerful, beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. And it describes that at the time that loving service is established in the heart. So this is very important. The Krishna conscious movement is about the heart. So once that devotional service is established in the heart, it says that the modes of passion, ignorance, lust disappear from the heart. They go away. They disappear. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. So this is the real purport of everything we do. We want to be happy. Even all these yogis, they're restless because they want to become happy. They're searching for some type, some level of satisfaction and happiness. Although it's very troublesome to take these other paths. Very, very troublesome. Very austere. Very, very difficult. And as a devotee, we've been given an opportunity through the mercy of the Parampara and by the Vedic literatures that we can avoid all that stuff and we can actually just go directly to become a devotee. And it's very simply described here. So for us, it is about the heart. And that is a very serious endeavor in life. We should take it very serious. The heart has so many desires in it. We can just sit down and we start thinking about all the desires that are in that heart. And how can Krishna sit in that heart if there's a lot of these desires? He doesn't want to be there. So I was thinking that we should really consider these points, especially this thing of passion and ignorance. Basically, in the material world, everyone in this material world is conducted by the three modes of material nature. Daivahi esha gunamayi mamamayatduvayaya. And it's divine. It's very difficult to overcome the three modes because they're the divine nature of Krishna. It's there for a purpose. And his divine nature, we see that from that are established different types of people, different living entities. You can see in the material world there's so many varieties. But it's under the heading of passion, under ignorance, and of course, goodness. So as a devotee, we have to strive for goodness, brahminical culture. We have to be aware that we have to strive for this position of being a good person, clean, simple, nonviolent, austere, benevolent, giving. These are brahminical qualities. Those are very important things to establish within ourselves, within our identity. So the mode of goodness is very important. And this mode of goodness, if we come to that platform, we'll see that the mode of goodness helps us on this path of spiritual life. And it takes training. Prabhupada said you can take an illiterate man and you can train him, and he become a very educated, civilized human being. Other examples are of like an animal. Take a dog, you know, a cat. You know, they take them to some special school and they train a cat and a dog. You know, you can, they, sight dogs, you know, they help those that are blind. The dog can lead, you know, because you can be, they can be trained. A cat can be trained. Even like if you take, go to the circus, and you go to the circus, you'll see a tiger or a lion. And that tiger is trained. Although it's a very ferocious animal, a killer. It'll eat you in a moment. Kill you and eat you. But still, we see in the circus, the master is telling him, jump here, sit down, lay down, roll. All these different things. A tiger, lion, elephant. You can see elephants so huge, huge animal. And a little human can train that elephant. It reminds me of going to Mayapur. Whenever I was in Mayapur, I always wanted to spend at least some time to watch the elephant. They bring the elephant out every day out in front of the temple, way out in front by the road. And that elephant sits there and stands there for an hour. Everybody comes up and, you know, tries to give it something, you know, coin or something, and he'll take the coin. And in the course of watching that elephant, although it's a huge body, I mean, what's the elephant weigh? 2 or 4,000 pounds? I don't know. Huge. Tremendously huge. Yeah, huge. And you see the elephant, it becomes so docile by training that I would see him playing with the trainer. The trainer would be standing by the elephant, and the elephant would take its trunk and mess up his hair. You know, it would just mess up his hair. Sometimes it would grab his shirt and pull on it, or it would grab his arm and pull on his arm. Very playful. Very loving, actually very loving. The animal is doing it very lovingly. And so that is by training. So here we are. We're in this Krishna conscious movement. And we should accept training. How important is it? You know, I recall when I first came to Krishna consciousness, talk about being in passion and ignorance. I'm looking at it now today, and 46 years ago, I was, on the level of being a human animal. Literally. Didn't care what I eat. Didn't care about anything. My language. Didn't care about anything. Uncivilized, practically. But by the association of Krishna consciousness and taking training, I became a different person. I hope, anyway. I'm hoping I'm a different person. So, so training is so important. One aspect of training can be tapasa brahmacharyena samenacha dhamenacha. So, control the senses, the sex urge, you know, things of that nature, the mind, you know, and tyagena. Tyagena means giving in charity. We can do those things. They're there, and they're part of the training process. But they're not the ultimate. That's the point. It's just, it can be, but it's very difficult. Prabhupada describes that path is like the steps. You know, you have to take steps when you do this type of austerity and sacrifice. And Prabhupada gives the example of like the stairway. There can be 1,000 steps. And, you know, in the course of going up those steps, you can get halfway there and say, I'm not doing this anymore. That's too much. I'm not going to cry. What am I doing this for? And this is that path of just austerity and sacrifice. You know, after a while, you think about it. What am I doing all this for? Not eating anything, doing all this severe austerity, sitting in the sun, in the rain. What is the purpose of all that? Why work so difficult, so hard for this? So that's one particular path. Although Prabhupada says that path can take one to the top. It can be achieved. But in the age of Kali Yuga, impossible. And the next process is, of course, the Krishna consciousness movement. This Krishna conscious movement that we're engaged in. And Prabhupada made it very, I thought it was very nicely the way he put it, and jokingly too, is if you become or you join the Krishna conscious movement, it's like going into a building, you open the elevator door, you get inside, you press the button, and you're in the top floor. That's Krishna consciousness. That's the power of this Krishna consciousness. And, of course, when we get there, we still have to continue doing certain things in order to maintain. So this step-by-step process is very difficult, but taking the elevator is very, you know, reasonable for us. And even that's pretty hard for a lot of us to do. Some of us just don't want to go to the top. We get caught up in second, third floor, maybe the, you know, sixth floor. And we get out and we want to look around and see what's happening on the sixth floor. We get sidetracked. Then eventually, as we become more and more purified, as it says in that verse, as loving service becomes established in the heart, then passion and ignorance are gone. They go away. They dissipate. Prabhupada gives the example of like fog. In fog, sometimes in the early morning, you can't see, but maybe a few yards in front of you. But then the minute that the sun comes up, it just dissipates the fog. It's just like gone. And so the same way, when we execute Krishna consciousness properly, the desire, the passion and ignorance, they just dissipate. If you ask me how my passion and lust has decreased somewhat in this life right now. If you ask me how did that happen, I can't really say to you. I guess because I was chanting. But it's just like the fog. It just kind of disappears. It just goes away. And you just, it's so subtle, you don't even hardly, well, gee, it's gone. Same way with Krishna consciousness. If we execute properly and we allow devotional service to enter within the heart and establish it there, then this passion, ignorance, lust, they dissipate. It goes away, just disappears. You can't even understand how. You're trying to figure out you can't. It's like so subtle. But it's the power. It's the process. It's accepting the training of Krishna consciousness. And just like, you know, you're trying to train an animal like a lion. If you ask the trainer, what does it take? It takes hours and hours and hours, maybe sometimes years, to train that animal how to do what you want it to do. So we should be patient in Krishna consciousness in the course of training. We shouldn't be so arrogant that, okay, now I figured it all out. Now I know what to do. That's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily applicable. Because the real test is, do you still have lust and greed in your heart? Is it still there? And that's something that we have to deal with, not that somebody has to give you a test. Here, come here, Prabhu, I'm going to give you a test. No. We test ourselves. That's the whole point. We test ourselves. We check in our heart and we see, do we have those things? So, becoming a brahmana means come to the point of a stage of goodness. And then we see that if we do that, then we surpass everything else. If you come to goodness, that means you've given up passion, rajas, and ignorance, tamo. You've given it up. So if you come to goodness, otherwise, if you come to the brahminical platform, that's what it means. So you've surpassed it. So it says that that the symptoms of a Krishna conscious person is there within the heart. Tata rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye. That's how you find out, you know, what's in your heart. And that's how a devotee makes that test within themselves on a daily basis. And from that they understand where they belong, where they are. And to keep that process moving, because, you know, you don't want to just stand still. The process has to continue. It has to move. So it's described, Shinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayanti Hridayanta Sohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. That in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have to see that Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he's the super soul in your heart. He's there. And he's witnessing all these activities. So it's between you and that super soul within your heart. And he's also the benefactor of the devotee, of a sincere and what I think it says that truthful devotee. Truthful. Now, how important is that? Truthful. We have to be truthful. And it says that the Paramatma super soul with you there He is the benefactor of that truthful devotee who's actually trying to make a sincere effort for purification and make an advancement in Krishna consciousness. So if that's the case, then it says that Krishna, he cleanses the heart or cleanses the devotee of material desires. This is what happens. That's the cleansing process. That if you are there and you understand your position and you pray nicely, Krishna's there, super soul, he cleanses the heart of desire for material activity, for material desires, material enjoyment from the heart. He takes it away from the heart. And then the devotee, especially is described, I think, when the devotee develops the urge for hearing his messages, which are virtuous in themselves, when properly heard and chanted. And that is our whole Krishna conscious platform, to properly hear and chant the activities of the Supreme Lord, the Holy Name, his activities, when properly heard and chanted. So hearing and chanting, these are essential. And these are processes of purification of the heart. And from that activity alone, we can become purified and maintain our level of bhakti, of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness means shruti. It means hearing. So how important is it to hear? Extremely important. If we lose our hearing, unfortunately, I'm losing some of my hearing. I took a test and I was told I'm losing my hearing. So if we lose that hearing process, then it's very difficult for us. Very, very difficult. If we don't develop that desire to want to hear Krishna consciousness, the holy name, the, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam class. So the process is shrotavya. It's actually to hear. But we have to hear from a bona fide source. That's also important. We have to hear from a bona fide spiritual master, from the parampara. If we hear from that proper source, then we make proper advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that is Krishna consciousness in itself. So, and Krishna makes it very, very simple for us. Man manambhava makto majjimam namaskuru. That all we really have to do is remember Krishna, you know, think of Krishna, serve Krishna, worship Krishna, bow down to Krishna, like we do every single day. Those are very simple processes. Those processes themselves are extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And they actually help one to become closer to Krishna. And Krishna is very happy with that because he wants you to do that. So, peace. Everyone's looking for peace, for satisfaction. They don't know how to do it. Krishna gives that peace formula, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokam Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Santim Richati. You know, Krishna's everything. He owns everything. He's your best friend. And so, you know, if we do these things that he's requesting us to do, we get purified. And we can see that it'll take effect within our heart. And we'll become desirous of becoming a devotee, a truthful devotee. Because if it is a truthful devotee, the Lord within the heart will give one that intelligence, how to get rid of all these passions and lust immediately, just dissipates. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant for that purpose. It's actually meant to teach people the science of how to get out of this material world and the science of love of God, how to serve Krishna. That is what's happening. And we see that all these different particular individuals here that Prabhupada's speaking about, these yogis and things of that nature, as he says here, those that individuals who are performing severe austerities and sacrifices. But the main thing is that we as devotees, if we just accept the science of Krishna consciousness as it is and not speculate, for us, there's a great opportunity to make a lot of spiritual advancement, to come to the point where we are going to be great yogis. Yogi namai योगिनाम अपि सर्वेषां मार्गतेनान्तरात्मना सर्वं भजते योमं सामेयुतत्वमता, right? Sameyut, yeah, that's right. And it says there that of all yogis, who always abides in me in transcendental loving service. That's the purport. In transcendental loving service is most intimately united with me in yoga. Intimately united with me in yoga. And he's the greatest of all. So that's Krishna consciousness. This is how simple Srila Prabhupada made it for us to become sincere devotees. And we won't be attracted or bewildered by any of these activities here that we are reading about and so many people are trying to persuade us to do. So I guess it's already 8:30. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told us, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want any number of followers. He didn't want any riches. He didn't want a beautiful wife. He didn't want a lot of power. He simply wanted to be a devotee. And I think if we all just want to be sincere devotees and worship Sisi Rukmini Dwarkadish and New Dwarkadam, we have a great opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay? Jai, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.